Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tonight, called my home. It's pretty warm in here right now. I had the door open, but it's getting ready to storm here, so I don't want to have all that water coming in the door, but I might have to open the window or door because it's pretty steamy in here. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining me this morning for a really interesting topic, I believe. Welcoming triggers. We're going to welcome those triggers. Bring them on, bring them on, bring them on, bring them on. To build what? To build emotional intelligence. Why is that important, some of you may be asking? Because emotions are energy. Energy in motion. So depending on how you're reacting or responding to triggers, those very uncomfortable situations, words that come at us that just don't make us feel good, they're uncomfortable. Triggers are very uncomfortable, right? I think everybody would agree. When someone says something that causes resentment to come up, fear, anger, jealousy, it doesn't feel good, right? Because it's energy. And so tonight it's going to be a little uncomfortable probably for some of us if you're tuning in. Now, I thought about how I should approach this tonight. And there's a movie that I just love called All About Eve. It's with Bette Davis as the star, other people. If you've seen All About Eve, then you know how this amazing scene goes, this brilliant scene goes, where Bette Davis is having a birthday party. They're giving her a birthday party, and she finds out that something's going on with her boyfriend or something, and she walks up the stairs with a martini in her hand, and she takes a sip of the martini, walks up the stairs, and she turns around and says, "Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride." Ah, I love that scene. One of my favorites. I've watched that movie over and over just to see that scene. I said, I'm putting on Bette Davis tonight. It's going to be a bumpy ride. For those of you who are uncomfortable about being triggered, because that's what we need to do to heal the body, heal the past, heal the present, all of that. We need to heal. Time for healing. Evidence is everywhere. Everywhere we look. I watched a documentary the other night about a skateboard, a young girl who fell in love with skateboarding. But she was discriminated against because of her gender, being a female. So she ended up cutting her hair and becoming more masculine. She took on a whole masculine personality, even had surgery on her chest to get rid of her boobs, okay? And she became a world skateboarding star. And she took on a totally masculine personality, which means she became a transgender. And she at first was a lesbian, so she had a girlfriend, even though she was in a female body. But she took on the male image because she wanted to be successful in skateboarding. This story was so enlightening and insightful about the complex nature of emotions. And this girl was almost suicidal because of her traumatic past, dysfunctional family, all in and out of boarding school or foster homes, and just having a really rough time with family life early in her life. So the passion she had for skateboarding motivated her to become a male figure more than female. And I looked at that and thought, wow. And then she discovered that there are lots and lots of transgenders in the skateboarding family. Yes, they're everywhere, transgenders. So it gave me the mind of non-judgment when I looked at her whole story, why she did what she did, what she did, and the emotions around it that almost caused her to have wanting to kill herself. I thought, wow, we have a lot of work to do, especially with our youth. I mean, she's in her late 20s, I think, now, or 30s, but she's teaching others about skateboarding, loves her life now, just loves her life. But she had to come out of her female gender-type personality and become very masculine. I tell that story to say we live in such a complex world. The triggers are everywhere. And the emotional intelligence that we need to develop is necessary at this point. And I want to just play a little clip that explains a little bit more about what emotional intelligence is, in case you're wondering if energy in motion. But this little audio breaks it down even more about why we should be developing emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence refers to the ability to recognize, interpret, and process emotions in yourself and others. While genetics, upbringing, and environment all play a role, there are steps you can take to develop your emotional intelligence over time. Get to know yourself. Emotionally intelligent people are self-aware. They have a realistic appreciation of their strengths and weaknesses and how they come across to others. Peer feedback is one way of improving your self-awareness and may uncover a few of your emotional blind spots. Learn your triggers. Linked to the notion of self-awareness is knowing how you are likely to respond in particular situations. Think about how you felt the last time you were under pressure. Did these feelings help or hinder you? Recognizing emotions and the source of these emotions can shift your emotional state. Empathize. Seeing things from someone else's perspective will help you understand their values and beliefs. This is important when it comes to motivating and engaging others. Make a conscious effort to get to know your colleagues. Ask open questions and actively listen to what they have to say, rather than simply waiting for your turn to speak. Be on the lookout for body language and other non-verbal signs, as these may tell you more than someone is willing to express out loud. Own your emotions. Part of being emotionally intelligent is about taking responsibility for the way you interact with others. If someone upsets you, pause and reflect on why their actions led you to feel this way, instead of reacting impulsively. Recognize that a conversation is a two-way interaction, and it takes two people to make you angry, sad, or frustrated. Go with your gut. Finally, listen to your body. If your stomach starts doing backflips every time you speak to a senior manager, or your muscles tense up before you go into a meeting, what does this tell you? Counterintuitive as it might seem, emotions can be a valuable source of information when making rational decisions at work. Remember, emotional intelligence isn't about suppressing emotions. It's about learning how to recognize, process, and channel them in a way that benefits you and your team. Enhancing your emotional intelligence requires effort, but it can be achieved with sustained practice.
Okay, so the main points of that audio is recognize, interpret, and process. Recognize, interpret, and process. The emotions in yourself first and others. So that's where we're going tonight. And our map of, the map we're going to use is the map of consciousness. That's the only map we can use on soul purpose healing. So I'm going to kind of hold that to the Facebook screen. And I want you to notice, I don't know if this is backwards or not, but at the bottom of this map, the red zone where disease grows and sickness starts is fear, grief, apathy, guilt, shame on one side, and then anxiety, what's the other one? Anxiety, regret, despair, blame, and humiliation. So when we begin to recognize certain emotions that we are going to interpret and process, let's just keep in mind shame is at the very bottom. Shame, blame, and guilt and fear are in the red zone. So I think it's important when you're in conversation with other people to recognize when people are in that low vibration, because our response should be different. If they're in a high vibration of love in the blue zone is all about enlightenment, peace, joy, love, understanding, serenity, forgiveness. And as we to mind when we start interpreting and processing these emotions. Now, I want to start with my own story of my childhood. All of our emotions are kind of rooted in the childhood and the parents and the emotions that go on in those dynamics. And it's important you understand my father, this man behind me, my father and my mother married in 1949. So we're going to take that period of time to break down relationships from then and now, because they've changed. I think we all agree these relationships changed from 49 when my parents got married and the type of relationship they had now, 2022. Remember, the skateboarder and her desire to become a man and lesbian, we got that going on everywhere. So my father in 1949 was drafted to play in the New York Yanks, and then he later played for the Cleveland Browns. My parents got married that same year, 1949. Well, I found married. Good for her. So my sister was born 9 months after they got married. But my dad played pro football 1949 to about 1953-54. Right before, a year or two before I was born. And my father had an affair with a model in New York. He was very, very popular because he was even in Jet magazine. When I was writing his book, I found several articles mentioning his name in Jet magazine as a superstar professional NFL football player. That's why I wrote a book with him, The Legend and Legacy of an African-American NFL Pioneer. Now, he had an affair with a woman who actually later married Billy Eckstine. If you know who Billy Eckstine is, that woman, Carol, her name was Carol something, Carol Eckstine eventually. But her name was Carol. So Carol met my dad in New York, and Jet magazine printed a comment from her that said, when Sherman Howard gets a divorce, now he was married with two kids at this point, when Sherman Howard gets a divorce, I'll be the next Mrs. Howard. My mother read that article. And I found out about that years later because she was always talking about somebody, they were always bringing up this Jet magazine article. I never found out about it until some 50 years later when I started researching for this book. Crazy as it was, my dad dislocated his shoulder in 1953. He had to retire from football. So came back to Chicago, Illinois, and made up with my mom because he conceived me. Hallelujah. After all that, they conceived me. But my mother's pregnancy, I'm sure, was a little bit stressful, I would say, because she told me later she wanted to abort me. She thought about aborting me when she got pregnant. Because she had read that article about my dad having this affair in New York, and her emotions, energy and emotion really flipped at that point, I believe, where later on, even I think from the time I was a child, my mother was an alcoholic. And so she was addressing the pain of rejection, maybe part of it, rejection, low self-esteem. In fact, I'm not enough. Don't you think if a woman is rejected by her husband in any way, shape, or form, especially if he's having an affair with somebody else, it's like, I'm not enough. So my mother carried those emotions most of my young life and drowned her pain and rejection in alcohol. And so I learned from that relationship with my parents. And then 10 years later, my father divorced her because he couldn't live with an alcoholic. He had lived with an alcoholic in his young years with his mother and her friends in New Orleans. They party every weekend. They had alcohol. And he said he just couldn't live with an alcoholic wife, even though he had some regrets later. So my mother's emotions taught me a lot, because I had a lot of sadness watching her emotions growing up, drowning her not enough, basically, in alcohol. I'm not enough because my husband had an affair in New York with this model, and he almost got divorced. And you can imagine all the dynamics of that trauma, that conflict. So he divorced her in, when I was about 10 years old, married another woman, and then he actually divorced the second woman. So he had three wives before he passed in 2019. He had, was on his third marriage, which lasted 40 years. Not very happy marriage near the end. It was a lot of belief problems. In his last marriage, similar things happened. Belief system about raising a child developed. Conflict, conflict, conflict. So fast forward, here we are in 2022. What is the state of relationships today, especially wives and husbands? Now, I was married for almost 40 years. So the emotions that caused our separation was I felt I could not, my belief systems were not the same as my husband's in later years. I believed in natural medicine, natural healing. My ex wanted to do everything his doctor told him, drugs, fornications, and we couldn't even talk to each other about much at all. So our relationship ended in a divorce after almost 40 years. Emotions galore, emotions galore. So here we are in 2022. Now, the reason I am talking more tonight about husband-wife relationship, because I was triggered earlier today. And why was I triggered? Because someone, not just someone, but several people were throwing shame, blame, and guilt at me. This is what the chart, remember I said, shame, blame, and guilt, and even fear got thrown into the conversation. And again, if you were here listening to the introduction about why emotional intelligence, how do we serve ourselves, process and serve ourselves first and then others? So when I see shame, blame, and guilt being thrown at me, resentment rises. So I my trigger today was resentment. I don't think I had any other triggers, emotions. Let me think. Resentment. So I realized after the conversation, I had a lot of resentment because the words were saying, shame on you, blame, 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 you're guilty. And there was some fear thrown in there that if this didn't happen, you're gonna be sorry, you're going to be this, that, and the other. I thought, wow. And it was a lot of energy, again, a lot of energy flowing in the conversation. And I'm feeling resentment. Take a deep breath. Viata, take a deep breath. What is going on here? What is going on here? Why are you feeling resentment? I recognize, first of all, resentment. Why did I feel resentment? Well, I go back to my mother and father, the relationship with them, where my mother could not express, my mother did not have emotional intelligence. She was not able to process the I'm not enough feeling. I'm not enough feeling. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. So let's have a beer. I'm not enough. Let's have a beer. Nobody loves me. Let's have a beer. That was my mother. That was my mother. And so the resentment comes when you are feeling as if shame, blame, and guilt. It's a low frequency. Mainly, the resentment comes when someone is having conversation with me and the frequency is blame, shame, and guilt. That's when the resentment comes. Why am I getting this low frequency from people that I love, appreciate, respect? Why? What is going on? Why am I getting this low frequency blame, shame? Well, it's because belief system. That's why. So my recognizing, first of all, this is how we're going to process tonight. We're going to use the map of consciousness, first of all. Where are the people from? What level of consciousness are they at? Recognize that first. And then interpret it. Interpret it. Why are people in shame, blame, and guilt? Why? Because there's belief systems out there, especially religious belief systems. that say if you do certain behavior, you should be ashamed of yourself. The Bible says blah, 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 and you should be ashamed of yourself. So I had to process that. The Bible, coming from a religious perspective, people love, put shame and blame on you and make you feel guilty. And fear can come in there. Yep. Fear can come in there. And then everybody's feeling like, I don't like this feeling. I don't like this feeling. So unlike my mother, I am not going to push that feeling back and have a beer. I don't play beer and pushing, stuffing feelings. I don't play that. In fact, in that example I gave you about Betty Davis, who walks up stairs with a martini in her hand, and she dumps the martini down, and she turns around and says, "Fasten your seat, Bess. It's going to be a bumpy ride." I love that scene. My body is full of spirit, not alcohol. In fact, I don't even have a lot of food in me because I've been so busy today. So there's nothing in this body, no spirit of martinis or alcohol in this body to interfere with me recognizing the energy of all of anybody who's talking tonight or interpreting why are people coming at you with fear, guilt, shame, and blame. Now, when that happens to me, my interpretation, I have to process. We have to process that. When the blame comes at you, that means other people in many instances are not taking responsibility. Because if I'm going to blame for our divorce, I'm not taking responsibility, and I'm going to tell poor me, that man did not treat me well. I'm a victim, and I deserve to be treated better than that. I really do. I have to get into my grandmother, my granddaughter, and I pretend we have different accents. I'm sorry I got into it. I digress. But when people are coming at you with blame, it's your fault, and they're not taking responsibility for anything. I mean anything. I'm like antenna, red flags going up, red flags everywhere. So what we have to do is listen. I think the first step is to listen to what they're saying and recognize, interpret, and process. That's what we do when developing emotional intelligence. Because the energy we keep, like my mom ended up dying of cancer because her liver was destroyed. And so that's a thought I always think about. How did my mother die? She died of liver cancer because she responded to her emotions with beer, have a beer or whatever else she was drinking. And it wasn't until the last year or two of her life that we had a really good relationship, a sober relationship with her. But she opened my eyes to so many things about emotions. So if we're going to recognize the shame, blame, guilt, fear at the lower end of consciousness, this map was created by David Hawkins, who wrote a book called Power versus Force. What was the point of his book? There's power up here in the higher consciousness emotions of love and joy, peace, forgiveness, reason, acceptance, forgiveness, understanding. But down here is disease. These emotions down here will create, if you stay in them, the energy, shame, blame, guilt, grief, regret. That's a low vibration, low. So you got to we want to recognize that when people are talking to you and you start triggered. So you don't want to be angry. The anger is a low, that's in the yellow zone. So anger is just a step above the low zone where disease and sickness dwell. So as I'm going to have resentment, let me see, I don't even know if resentment's on here. Is resentment on here? I don't see resentment. It's in there somewhere. It's probably in the yellow zone somewhere, but they don't describe it as resentment. So my resentment, I want to process that. Resentment that people are coming, their words are saying you're to blame, you're guilty, and you should be in fear because if you don't do this, this, and this, then I'm going to do this, this, and that. And then most important, when people are doing that to you or for you, let's not even say to you, people are sending messages of blame, guilt, shame, anxiety, blame and shame, guilt for you, not to you. I look at it this way. They're sending that message for you to recognize, interpret, and process that emotion of resentment or anger or whatever comes up. So we give thanks. We give thanks for words of shame, blame, guilt, and regret that open us up to interpret, recognize, and process, right? Okay, I know it's 8:30, and if Naima, if you want to play commercials, let me know. I'm going to look at my phone and see if Naima is ready to go to commercials because it is 8:30. Let's see. I don't see a message from – I'm waiting for Naima to send me a message for commercials. Recognizing when someone – victim mode, they're going to blame you for everything, okay? In victim mode, there is no power. No power. Realize that people who are shaming, blaming, and putting guilt and fear on you, they're in a low vibration, and victim mode down there with them, down there, there's victim somewhere in that area with shame, blame, and guilt. And so we can take a deep breath. When that happens, deep breath in. Resentment is one. We're just going to deal with that one right now because this is my personal experience that I'm sharing with you. And then once the conversation ends and you go on your med, the conversation ends for whatever, okay, let's not talk about this anymore because this is uncomfortable. That's why Betty Davis is in the house saying, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy road tonight because I'm not holding back on anything as I'm led by the spirit, not by martinis. I'm led by the spirit. I don't have any martinis. So even though Betty Davis is in the house, I'm not drinking martinis. So I'm going to go to the phone.
Unmuted.
Open up Naima Latif, our executive producer, is going to play commercials for us, and we'll be right back.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Community and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Muted.
And we're back. It is raining here in good to me that the rain has come. And we've got a couple of comments from our Facebook family. Zelda is here, my Monday morning mindfulness host and the female solution. Thank you for the triggering lessons. Lord knows we all need to hear this and use the techniques I know you're going to share. Thanks for this show. And then Naima Latif is here in the Facebook studio. And grand evening, my beautiful sister. I have a question. I mentioned to some people that according to those who have survived near-death experiences, there is no hell, only love when you transition out of the body. Religious people get angry at the thought of hell. Why do they want there to be punished, shame, blame, and suffering caused by a vengeful God? Thank you, Naima, for the questions. And then Francis Ferris is listening. So I would answer Naima's question is that we were taught that from the religious institutions, church, from their belief system of the Bible by King Jimmy, King James Version, teaches all this and guilt and suffering. And you, when you read books like Brian Weiss is a psychiatrist who interviewed, who put several people under hypnosis, and there's probably several books like that, of how you, when people are put under hypnosis, he took them in back into other lives. They talked about their other lives, and it was nothing like, of course. So we have been brainwashed, bamboozled, and deceived by so many wrong teachings, and especially about emotions and how we should be responding. So tonight, we want to help everyone come out of the emotional ignorance and come into emotional intelligence. Now, I've been listening to Dr. Daryl Wolf. He's holding a class on emotional intelligence on Facebook. And this man is so great. He's like mama gives me with a hatchet. He's got a hammer. He don't hold back anything. And he talks a lot about self-love. The majority are not going to fall in love with themselves. That's why with emotional intelligence, you are not able to process life challenges healthy, in a healthy way, with the breath, and responding, breathing in and responding and not reacting with anger every time, but that we are able to process it when we love ourselves. The message is mostly about fly. That's where I got the FLY, first love yourself, flying that I use. Fly, first love yourself. He preaches that all the time. First love yourself and care for yourself. Don't trust anyone else. Unfortunately, many people are looking outside of themselves to soothe, change their feelings, okay? So my mother is a perfect, she's in the grave, my dad's in the grave, thank you, I love you, Daddy, love you, Mommy. I've forgiven my parents. I don't hold any grudges against my parents like some people do for years. But the idea that when you have these feelings of resentment, anger, bitterness, fear. We look outside of ourselves, don't we? A beer would help, a vodka, whatever. And look at Hollywood. Betty Davis, in that movie, All About Eve, which I love, there is so much smoking cigarettes in that movie. It's crazy. I looked at it and thought, wow, every scene, there was a light up a cigarette. Oh, boy. And we were watching those movies. Don't tell me you weren't watching Hollywood movies in your day, in your youth. We were watching Hollywood movies that demonstrated behavior that said, look outside yourself, soothe or change your feelings. So we're going to blame other people when we get uncomfortable with the things that are going on in our life, right, instead of going within. And then the shame, guilt, and blame comes out because we don't want to take responsibility, right, for the things that are going on in our life. So let's shame others, blame others, and make other people feel guilty. Not me. Not me. I'm not going to feel guilty or shame. But, when even when you might think you're guilty of something, you can process that guilt in a way that you feel good about yourself. Not feeling bad about yourself. Let's see, who's that? Somebody asking, why do people kill, destroy folks' dreams, and et cetera? They're full of hell. Okay, let me take a deep breath on that one. That to me, Francis, thank you, Francis, for that question. They're full of hell. That's why triggers, thank you, triggers are necessary. We want to trigger the hell out of people. Whatever, if you want to describe it as hell, where does that hell come from? It comes from our childhood. Between religion and unconscious parents, a lot of us had that now, unconscious parents who not only abused us with discipline tools or with words. People are killing, in my opinion, my belief, people are killing, destroying. And it's not like they're going to kill, destroy your dreams because that's your responsibility. Since when are other people responsible for your dreams? Think about that now. Who's responsible for your dreams, not other people? See, that's when we have these dreams inside, we have these hopes inside, we know ourselves enough to say, I'm responsible for my dreams and hopes, not anybody else. So I don't think anybody can kill your dreams, but the training we have that we look outside of ourselves for solutions and answers is what makes us think that our dreams are destroyed by other people. I tend to see the universe acting in a way, putting us in positions, situations, circumstances that teach us lessons, number one, and that help us grow and evolve. That's my belief. So if you have different beliefs, share them. But my belief is everything I've learned, everything that's happened to me was a lesson, everything, even and now especially for lessons. Is there anybody out there who doesn't think this journey is all about lessons? This is a school. Mama AZ, my friend in Arizona, brings this up all the time. We're in a earth school. This is a big, big deal in the cosmic order of things. Earth, where a lot of people come to learn some really hard lessons. And many of us are in shame, blame, and guilt to project that onto other people. So in our journey, I have this beautiful teaching about the secret power of this cosmos that we're in. And then I'm going to come back to Dr. Daryl Wolf, let's see, 844. Yeah, I have time. I want to share this, the secret power of the universe and how we have lost touch with that. We've lost touch with the higher consciousness that we are meant to practice on this planet. And that's where we end up being triggered in anger, bitterness, shame, blame, instead of self-responsibility based on some higher truth. So secret power of the universe, these are some of the higher truths that we've missed or we have forgotten about.
Infinite life and power. Man possesses, did he but know it, illimitable power. This power is of the spirit, therefore it is unconquerable. It is not the power of the ordinary life, or finite will, or human mind. It transcends these because, being spiritual, it is of a higher order than either physical or even mental. This power lies dormant and is hidden within man until he is sufficiently evolved and unfolded to be entrusted with its use. Thought is a spiritual power of tremendous potency, but this is not the power of which we speak. By thought, man can either raise himself up and connect himself with the powerhouse of the universe, or cut himself off entirely from the divine inflow. His thought is his greatest weapon because, by it, he can either draw on the infinite or sever himself in consciousness, but not in reality, from his divine source. Through the divine spark within him, which is really his real self, man is connected with the infinite. Divine life and power are his if he realizes that they are his. So long as he is ignorant of his oneness with the divine source of all life, he is incapable of appropriating the power that is really his. If, however, he enters into this inner knowledge, he finds himself the possessor of infinite power and unlimited resources. This power, then, is God's, yet it is also man's, but it is not revealed to him until he is fit to be entrusted with it. It is only when man realizes his oneness with his divine source that he becomes filled with its power. Many teachers lament the fact that certain secrets are being spread broadcast today, secrets that, in the past, were kept closely guarded. They fear that unilluminated and unevolved people may make destructive use of spiritual power. This, to the writer, appears to be improbable. It is true that strong personalities who have a great belief in their own power to achieve and succeed draw unconsciously on hidden powers, and thus are able to raise themselves high above their fellows. The use, however, that they can make of spiritual power for base purposes is limited and is not to be feared. There are others, of course, who are misusing their powers. These are black magicians, and while they may do a certain amount of harm, they become reduced, ultimately, to beggary and impotence. There are also others who spend the whole of their spare time searching for knowledge of this very subject. They read every occult book they can lay hands on, but they never find that for which they seek. There are spiritual powers and influences that withhold the eyes of the seekers from seeing until they are ready for the revelation. When man, in his search for truth, has given up all selfish striving after unworthy things, and has ceased to use his self-will in conflict with the greater will of the whole, he is ready for the revelation of his oneness with the infinite. Yielding implicitly to the will of the whole may seem, to the unilluminated, an act of weakness. Yet it is the entrance to a life of almost boundless power. Man is not separate from his divine source, and never has been. He is, in reality, one with the infinite. The separation which he feels and experiences is mental, and is due to his blindness and unbelief. Man can never be separated from spirit, for he himself is spirit. He is an integral part of one complete whole. He lives and moves and has his being in God, and God dwells in him. The majority of people are unaware of this intimate relationship with the divine. And because they are unaware, or because they refuse to believe it, they are in one sense separated from the inner life of God. Yet his separation is only in their thoughts and beliefs, and not in reality. Man is not separated, and never can be. Yet so long as he believes that he is separate and alone, he will be as weak and helpless as though he actually were. As soon as man realizes the truth of his relationship to the infinite, he passes from weakness to power, from death unto life. One moment he is in the desert, afar off, weak, separate, and alone. The next, he realizes that he is nothing less than a son of God, with all a son's privileges and powers. He realizes in a flash that he is one with his divine source, and that he can never be separated. He awakens also to the fact that all the power of the infinite is his to draw upon, that he can never really fail, that he is marching on to victory. It will thus be seen how great is the power of man's thought. While thought is not the power of the spirit, it is the power by which man either connects himself up with the infinite power, opening himself to the divine inflow, or cuts himself off and separates himself from his spiritual source. Thus, in a sense, man is what he thinks he is. If he thinks he is separate from God and cut off from his power, then it is as though this were really the case, and he is just as impotent and miserable as though he actually existed apart from God. On the other hand, if he thinks and believes that he is one with the infinite, he finds that it is gloriously true, and that he is really a son of God. If he believes and thinks that he is a mere material being, then he lives the limited life of a material being, and is never able to rise above it. But if, on the contrary, he thinks and believes that he is a spiritual being, then he finds that he possesses all the powers of a spiritual being. Again, if he thinks that his work is difficult and that he is not equal to his tasks, he finds that really his tasks are difficult and beyond his powers. Yet, on the other hand, if he believes his work is easy, or, at any rate, within his powers, he finds that such is the case, and that he can do his work with ease. The power within is infinite, for, by faith in it, man is directly coupled up with the spiritual power of the universe. The divine spark within him connects him to the sacred flame, thus making him potentially a god in the making. A change, then, must take place within man before he can enter into his divine inheritance. He must learn to think after the spirit, as a spiritual being, instead of after the flesh, as a material creature. Like the prodigal son, he must come to himself and leave the husks and the swine in the far country, returning to his father's house, where there is bread of life enough and to spare. You see, in life, in your life, you have an infinite life, an infinite power, if you connect your spirit to the divine source. This is Dare to Do Motivation. Chapter 1, Infinite Life and Power. Thanks for watching, and stay blessed.
I hope and pray that all of you have raised your vibration and your awareness to who we really are in these times of triggering. When we are triggered, why? What's the purpose of? Well, if you were listening to this, the words of this person, reminding us that we are one, that we are God, that we are one with the cosmic universe, that we are creators, that we are here to do what? Map of consciousness. We're here to raise our frequency, raise our vibration. And triggers help us do that if we recognize where they're coming from, who's speaking them, interpret them on what level they're on. Are they down here with shame, blame, guilt, and the person is being a victim, trying to put their inadequacies and their low thoughts on you? Or are they up here saying, I love you, and I don't know why you said what you did, but I want to bring unity to what we just talked about. I want to understand. Understanding is on the map of consciousness as a higher energy frequency. I want to have optimism about what just happened. I want to accept. Acceptance is something that I have really come to do more and more instead of challenging my grown son to think like me. And it's really challenging when you raise two people in your household and they don't think like you. What happened? What did that go wrong? And they don't have your beliefs. These two people came out of my womb. We fed them. And when they become adults, they take on different beliefs. What the hell happened? Well, what happened was the creator who we're one with is trying to see all individual souls with a different purpose, and that we're not all going to have the same beliefs. I'm learning that clearly.
You are now in the host queue.
We don't have the same beliefs, and they are more influenced by college education and peers than they have with their parents. But I'm grateful that they haven't had any time in prison, at least, that they are at least in place, they have careers, and they're making good money, and they're not really angry or negative people. We can't talk politics, but every other thing, we love music, so we have a lot in common. But those people in our life who have different beliefs, especially religious beliefs, they're going to have trigger action going most of the time. Now, Francis is asking, as any person who's trafficked, comma, you're free to speak for yourself. You might have to elaborate on that, Francis. But trafficking, what does trafficking mean? In this crazy society we live in, hell is in the mind, in my opinion. You can either create hell or heaven in this planet. It's all up here, what your purpose and plan is. And I would say people who go around creating, in their mind, hell, they were trained in their childhood to produce that type of energy, okay? And I'd say people there's a great documentary on Netflix, I Am a Killer. It's a documentary about men on death row. Talk about me. All of the people they interviewed, I watched several episodes years ago. All of the people that were interviewed, horrible childhoods. Every 100% of them had horrible childhoods. Either they were in foster homes, or their parents were drug addicts, or you don't have that secure foundation with both parents in the house helping you grow, more than likely you could be ending up in prison. Even if you do have that, some people are in prison. It's very revealing about why people end up on death row. And I would say the major reason is a very dysfunctional childhood and often very traumatic. So I think people who are trafficked, I don't see them, I know people don't like, I don't see them as victims as much as reaping and sowing. Why do some people end up in prison and why they and others don't? Reaping and sowing. Speak for yourself. I don't know what that means, friends. We have to clarify that. But we're going to go to a break. Every situation, whether it's prison, in my opinion, or other harsh treatments that we go through, there's a seed. There has to have been, in my opinion, the law of the universe that says a seed is it. This is what grows from that seed. And I think that works for everything in our journey on earth. Somebody plants a seed somewhere in this life or a past life, and we have to reap what we sow. And then there's a lesson. Once you become more conscious, you don't have to reap what you sow anymore. You clear karma so quick when you become more conscious, and that is why we have to be more aware of the blame, shame, guilt game that people are playing. And then when we're triggered by that, we don't want to get into more karma by being angry and cursing people out and letting our words be planted, more karma or more sowing, reaping and sowing action. So it's a good idea to understand this map of consciousness if we're going to build emotional intelligence and learn how to respond up here in the blue zone with wisdom and peace and joy. When we come back, we got to go to a break. Naima's going to play commercials.
Unmuted.
And we'll continue with relationships with husband and wives because we all have in relationships. So Naima and our next commercial.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago. taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Because I've had a caller waiting, and I'll come back to Naima for her comment after 773-450. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, who's this?
Wonderful show.
Okay, hi, what's your comment?
Well, one of the comments was this. Okay, so I've been married twice. First time maybe 7 years, second time over 30 years, but mostly the challenge, I would say, of a relationship when you're married and the traditional expectations around wife and husband don't fit, for example. Like, for example, I work as a public person, so I'm always dealing with the general public. So I have a heart to give, and I run into lots of people I help. And when you help people, people warm up to you, and you have these lifetime friends just because you've given them a good word, you've supported them, you believe in them when nobody else would, you carry them if they were weak, just a similar of things that you do for people because you love humanity. When I'm the type of person, on one hand, I embrace all of my wife's friends and any endeavor she takes, male or female, as far as her choices are. Because at the end of the day, I'm not daunted by somebody appreciating my wife because that's only normal. If you love somebody, you'd expect at least several people to like the person you're with just because of their great attributes, at least. So the challenge is how as adults, that you deal with that when it causes one person to be enraged or upset because you have friends, and there you are working on a spiritual higher goal, not even necessarily focusing on a physical thing, because when you're working in ministry, you're doing the bigger work for a lot of minds and a lot of people in the universe. So sometimes that can be misconstrued by the company you keep. But my point was that's when you have to trust your mate. And if you don't trust them, maybe you have to move on, because nobody can be an island to themselves. If you have a mate and you spend all your time with them and anything happens, you'd be so lonely. You have made no friends. You cultivated nothing in life, but I'm married. Who does that? So I just wanted to question that, because a lot of times when you're dealing with life, the traditional marriage doesn't work. Especially these times. What do you think?
Thank you. Thank you for that comment, because we want to talk about relationships and the traditional roles of husband and wife. I was on a conference call last week, and this woman has been married to her husband for 30 years. They have children, but they don't have sex in their marriage, but they're still married. She's going to go to Africa and marry another man while she's still married to the man here in the United States. These are the type of things that are happening everywhere all the time, and we cannot continue to look at religion as the standard of how we interact or act in relationships. So let me open our executive producer's mic, because she had a statement. Thank you for your comment. She has a statement about people in your life who have a religious mind, and they want to follow the Bible rules and regulations that need to be really interpreted in terms of the spiritual message, the metaphors, and so forth. So, Naima Latif, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having this discussion. It's a difficult one for people who have been raised in a religion that is kind of basically punitive and fear-based. Like, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. And it's very difficult for people to change their thinking on that, depending on how deep the indoctrination is. But then, you know, I've had an ongoing conversation with associates of mine, particularly since my book, The Female Solution, came out, because the approach that I was taking was that we have a crisis, and we created this crisis. We've had successions of wars. We've had economic distress, and we've created a condition where we've destroyed too many child-producing men, young men, in these various conflicts around the world. This is a global problem, and it creates a social imbalance. And the result is that we have many more women who are emotionally stable and prepared for marriage than we have men in the same age brackets that are emotionally stable and prepared for marriage. And so many of the breakups came as a result of men having relations outside of their marriage. But there are many women that they have to choose from, because we humanity created this situation of many more women than men when we kept having these wars and killing the men. So as a human family, we got to figure out how to make adjustments. Now, religiously, the religion of Islam addressed that after a major war that killed off a lot of the men, and there were a lot of widows with children. And the command from God, if you will, was that men should marry up to 4 wives and treat them all equally so that there would be no jealousy. Now, that was their religious decree in that time based on that social circumstance. But when I would go on book tours and talk about this to various women's groups, I got responses of rage. No, in Christianity, God said that one man, one woman, you know, there was a lot of anger. And, you know, and I said, yeah, well, your religion says this, but my religion's saying the other thing, given the social condition that we're, and then I'm looking at present day, where 87% of men doing time in prison came from fatherless homes, so there's a direct correlation. So unless women can agree that we have to make this adjustment to save our families, we're going to continue with this escalating crime, violence, poverty, and all of these things that we created. And God's going to come down and save us from ourselves. We got to figure out how to have harmony among ourselves. That is the solution that a religion has presented. So if one says, well, no, God said, according to my religion, that, you know, the one man, one woman, and anything else, sin, adultery, and all that. And so when you have this religious difference and you're dogmatic, and then you have the traditions that basically make a wife a man's property. That's kind of where that evolved from, a man owning a woman, as opposed to there being a partnership to co-parent and all of that. Then you kind of get stuck there, and we can't figure out how to solve a problem that we created. Not people's, and, you know, I've had, you know, Christian women say to me, well, you know, if God had been wanted there to be polygamy, then he would have made several women instead of just one woman for Eve. You know, there would have been, you know, Eve and Mary instead of just Eve and Adam. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, the issue is we created the problem because we killed up the men because we went to war. So we were supposed to learn from that. Don't kill each other because then you suffer. That's what we're supposed to learn. You know, get along because this is the consequence. So, you know, it's difficult to raise people to that point of seeing that unless we can see ourselves as a collective body and see how we all suffer, if any of us suffer, and if our children are suffering because they don't have that team of parents that are working together and giving them a balance of how to treat each other, we're going to keep having this problem. We were stuck. And it's, you know, you see carjackings by 14-year-olds. Where is that coming from? You know, we can't keep blaming white folks every time black people act up. We have to take responsibility as a collective human family for everything that we created. And the first thing, like that chart that you have when it comes to charts of consciousness, if unconditional love is at the top, then that means you care about the collective body of all life, and you want everybody's well-being to be in place because that's going to affect everybody. But that level, it's attainable, but it's so rare on this whole planet because of the system that we put in place under religion of shame, blame, guilt, and fear. So it's a conversation that has to be had, but, you know, if your emotions are there where you're fearful of losing love or losing status or losing faith or whatever it is we fear we're going to lose because of maybe childhood experiences of not being loved or being abused, then we have to heal those things before we can even hear the logic of making a cultural adjustment so we can take care of our children, because that's really the reason for everything, to make sure that the children that you raise in the next generation are raised in an atmosphere that caters to their well-being so that they can create a healthy world. And that's all I've been saying, but it's a real hard thing when people say their religion is saying something else and they can't move beyond that. So there we have it.
Thank you so much, Naima, especially bringing up your book, The Female Solution, because you put together a whole platform, a blog talk platform, to bring forth this truth in every program that we do. I think it's important more than ever to bring out this truth that you just talked about when so many people are confused about everything from gender realities, and we got transgenders everywhere, and relationships, women with women, men with men. So relationships are all over the place. So why not bring in this type of truth where I was talking to somebody earlier about dick pics. You know, that's something that men like to do who have that crazy mind that's important to them. I said, you know, bring on those pictures because transgenders are cutting shit off. Excuse my French. But transgenders don't like their body parts. So I think maybe it's time to circulate some beautiful body parts and start appreciating what the creator created in the womb.
Well,
that's
another thing. And tonight I had a conversation about that because, you know, I do the three Black Moms show with my sisters on Sunday afternoons. And we were talking about Nichelle Nichols and the futuristic show Star Trek, you know, and the fact that they really challenged us as a Earth society to think in terms of what if we encountered people who are so different. Not only are they not humanoid, but they may even have a totally different social structure and perspective and everything. And I was remembering one particular episode where, and I don't know if anybody ever watched Star Trek, you know, it's a futuristic show. They're out in space exploring other civilizations. So they came to this one planet where people were, they were androgynous. They were neither male nor female. Or they were both and. You know, like we have a lot of people here now, they call it non-binary, where you don't want to be referred to as a male or female. You want to be called they, you know, in the plural, because you don't identify with either male or female. So we have people like that. So anyway, in that particular episode, one of the lieutenants, Lieutenant Riker, who's usually like this romantic guy, he fell in love with one of the people on the other planet who was that this kind of androgynous person, and he was really conflicted about it because, like, okay, am I loving a man or am I loving a woman? And I'm sure that the plot line was sort of maybe influenced by, you know, maybe the LGBT community wanting to bring up this topic. But I also think about the fact that what we condemn as immoral, or, you know, we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible and all that, but what if there are societies where the designation of male and female is different than what it is here? And all of us who know that we're not alone in the universe, we know that what we think is normal and right, and all the things that we have given a label to in terms of moral and immoral, they might totally not even be existing once we interact with other civilizations that have a whole different way of thinking. So how are we going to handle that if there are other beings who reproduce differently than we do, therefore their designation of male and female is different? So I think sometimes we go through things as a challenge to some of the religious belief systems that are stuck on the idea that everybody should be the same. And if we're really going to be prepared to meet people from other worlds, we have to think outside the box. You know, maybe there are different ways of expressing sexuality, or maybe different ways of reproducing, and maybe everything isn't a right, wrong, moral, immoral kind of thing. It's just different. And just because something different doesn't mean it's to be condemned. Maybe it's to be understood and studied and accepted as different. But that means you got to let go of the heaven, hell, God hates you if you're not like me concept. And that's hard for people.
Right. And Christina says, yes, embrace the male and female. There's value and beauty in each. We need to stop reacting to the LGBTQ and the binaries and the transgender. And we just need to have a strong statement about the beauty of male bodies, the beauty of female bodies, the beauty of not reacting to any of that, but responding with love for self. That's where part of the problem is. As Christina said, fear is the killer. And if we're operating in fear about anything, that's where this map of consciousness reveals why we don't have any power in our lives, because fear is way bottom in the red zone that creates disease and confusion. And Zelda says, tradition is not always our friend. Our parents meant well, but tradition is not always the best way. Someone wise once said, tradition is peer pressure from dead people. Ooh, that's a big one. Peer pressure for dead people. Let me go to the phones again. We've got callers who pressed one. Thank you. And we want to open up their mic. 561-536. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you. It's so good to finally be able to call in to change my phone service. But listening to Naima was, oh my goodness, that was awesome. What you said to Viata about the attitude about, you know, people sending their pictures, their new photos. And
muted.
Why didn't our parents get it? You know what I mean? Then it cast a judgment. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with the minister our trine circle. We have a trine circle now. T-R-I-N-E.
Introduce yourself. Please introduce yourself.
I'm so sorry. I jumped on. I was listening first. This is Beth Francis Harris. I was listening to you on Facebook, and then I texted that I was going to jump on. So trine, of course, the trine is 3. You know, the word says where two or three are gathered in truth, in the word, the word being truth, and the word will free us. The truth will free us. So why would we be enslaved with so many ideas of what we interpret in scripture that has caused it to now be nearly 50,000 different Christian denominations and sects? And I was always one who just couldn't gel with the upbringing. Both sets of my grandparents were Pentecostal ministers. I couldn't escape that. So I was in church like at least four times a week, at least. And some of those days were all day. It could be all night, depending on if it was a shut-in. What they call a shut-in is when they would fast, and they would just stay at the church to do that. But I have a foundation that I could say I'm somewhat grateful for, but it was definitely cultish. I could even just say it was a cult, but and I was always asked, how could you think so differently being brought up like that? And so, of course, you know, I was accused of, you know, being afflicted by demons because I couldn't gel with what they were telling me. It just didn't make sense. It doesn't make one who remember entering the womb. I didn't meet anyone until I was an adult, and I think that was Minister Cynthia that I finally, you know, realized, what? Somebody else remember? Because she told me she remembered it. But also, I used to see beings that we would say angelic beings. Some were horrific that I would see, and I didn't know that I was the only one seeing them. It, you know, it took a while to realize, oh, yeah, okay, I'm a bit different here. But I'm saying that because I think all of that kind of helped to expand the thinking beyond how, you know, these labels and realizing that we have to ascend labels. What you can name definitely has its limitations. So it's not about religion. You know, I feel that religion has its place. There are 10,000 different ones, and so Christianity is just one among 10,000. I feel they all have their place. But the idea of their place is kind of like maybe preschool, somewhere, you know, early elementary, kind of like the bunny rabbit, Easter. But then you are supposed to get beyond a belief of any Santa Claus or anything like that. You move beyond that. And so in this life, as we realize we are actually spiritual beings, we move beyond the dual, that it is not about good or bad. It just is. And so what I appreciate about the gay community is they have so many labels, until even we're part in their labeling us. We're not heterosexual, we're cisgender. There's all these different gender fluid. And but what Naima was saying just was like, yeah, I think all of this is preparing us for something much larger, much more than we could have ever thought. Because remember, with these religions, it was almost like a cubicle. It was like, we're in this little part, and we're doing great, and the rest of the folks don't have it right. You know, instead of the bigger picture, that we're interconnected. And that means not just with the good, but the bad. And that if the kingdom is within, which is what Scripture says, and I'm speaking of the Bible, the kingdom of heaven is within us, so is hell. It is nothing outside of ourselves. The universe is within. And we are to ascend the label, so it's not even about any of that. That's why when you see the universe, the galaxy, it's so beyond. It's given us that message. get beyond the duality. So I'm just very grateful. And you were asking me, what did I mean about the traffic? As being a certified child advocate, I was saying that when you were saying, oh, you know, you create the hell, I'm saying, no, that's not the case. Ask any traffic person. They did not create that. No baby created that. So I was just saying, but you are free to speak your opinion, of course. That was what I was saying about that.
Oh, I see. I see now. I'm looking at your question. Well, see, that's a debate we could have about karma and reaping and so on. Thank you, Francis. Beautiful, beautiful words that you've just spoken. I appreciate all that. And that's a debate we can have about karma. Why do we have such misery in our earth? Why are people being trafficked? Why are people's body parts? People are being kidnapped and killed and their body parts are taken. This is third dimension experience, all of its craziness. And this is what, so we don't have to even label everything, in my opinion. And I'm waiting again for to hear from Naima. Let me know when you're ready for commercials. We don't have to label anything anymore. We're in a third, if you're growing in your consciousness and you're being recognizing triggers, that we're talking about emotional triggers, because energy in motion starts within, right? We want to recognize the energy that's in motion in this temple of the Most High, temple of the microcosm. We're talking about, that's where it starts, loving yourself enough to recognize the energy within. Now, all out here is outside of us is drama, 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 from the White House to Hollywood to trafficking. We got everything going on. We could label it if we want, trafficking, hell, whatever. But if you don't go inside, in my opinion, and find the peace that you need and the purpose, this is soul purpose healing. I actually started this 9 years ago. I thought it was eight, but I started this show in July 2013. And I think about over the last 9 years, my relationship with my creator has grown immensely doing this type of show. Because I've had to do a lot of soul purpose healing, what does that mean? Why did I give it that name? I went through so many questions, and Mama AZ was always there with me. So shout out to you, my sister, for always being there with me. When it was just two of us on soul purpose healing, she was there with me, and we did a whole half hour in the beginning, and we just talked about everything and anything, and I had co-hosts at one time. And we went through such a beautiful training and lessons on planet Earth that today I am just grateful that if I have three people, I'm like, wow, I got three people. But I'm grateful that we now can hook up with Facebook and have all these beautiful people in Facebook joining us and YouTube and all of this. And this to say, this topic is really about self-love today. When we come back from the break, we really have to, or we really should learn about energy in motion. What does it feel like to have resentment? What does it feel like to have fear? How does your body feel? You know, what are we going through when we have triggers where people say and do things that make us very uncomfortable? And our reaction or response to these people will determine our growth, because the lessons are going to keep coming. And I believe when you're triggered into anger every day, you're going to keep getting the same lessons over and over again until you get worn unmuted. Out from reacting with the low-frequency emotions that are not going to help us evolve or have good health. So, Naima Latif, your mic's open. Thank you for bringing us commercials for this last half hour.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
If you're in the studio and you have a question or comment, please press 1 and I'll open up your mic. I'm going back and forth from StreamYard to the studio, but if you want to have a question or comment, and Francis said you're labeling when you mention karma. Again, you're free to voice. Karma is a trigger word. I've learned that with some people because I remember being in the church that karma was, the people don't even believe in, quote, karma. So that is a trigger word. Thank you, Francis, for that statement, because it's a trigger word. And you're right. Labeling a law that people believe in, again, it's a belief system that many people believe in and write about. And I like to, because karma can really trigger people and we lose the conversation about reaping and sowing. So often, many times I find myself not using the word karma because it triggers people and their feelings show up about, oh, karma's not true. That's not true, especially more the Christian community. I'm going to go back to the calls, Naima, in a minute. I want to read your answer to Francis' question. Especially in the Christian community over the years, karma was a trigger to debate about reaping and sowing. So my beliefs would conflict with their beliefs because the karma was karma has many times been looked at as an Eastern philosophy, an Eastern belief. It has nothing to do with Christianity because Christians don't believe in karma. They don't believe in past lives and reincarnation. So all of that mixed in together can create a reaction or a trigger for many people. So I agree, labeling karma, that's always a debate issue sometimes because people's beliefs, again, we don't have to dwell on that because it's a belief thing. Naima makes a great point here about in their pre-birth plan, people choose certain experience to learn something. It may be that those who are trafficked were the traffickers in another life. So their soul needs to understand the damage they did to others. It is for their soul's growth and evolution so that they understand on a deeper level why that behavior is harmful. Thank you, Nana. That's a beautiful higher conscious understanding of reaping and sowing, why bad things happen to people and why we have murderers. Murderers are clearly, to me, a mental imbalance that could very possibly be on a soul level of something they're reaping from a past life. People murder people, and then those who've been murdered, who've been killed, they're going to experience something different. Maybe they come back as murderers. We don't have to understand all the little details of this great cosmic universe, but we should learn how not to be triggered in anger and always debating everything because we don't have full understanding. But reaping and sowing, you plant a seed, you reap something from it. I don't understand why people don't get that as a law of the universe, and we don't even have to call it karma. But I believe reaping and sowing is the law of the universe, and that helps me come out of, why did that happen? Oh, my goodness, what a horrible thing. Reaping and sowing. Okay, we'll go with that. So, Naima, you have callers in the studio if you want to open their mic. Go ahead.
Okay, area code 111, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Okay, hallelujah, greetings. This is Mrs. Robert Young, known as Mama D. You spoke of a higher frequency. Taking a series of love shots with my husband, followed by a series of penis shots.
Okay, we've got a caller who's triggered and angry. I'm not going to even listen to her voice because I know who that is. You know, when you have people, especially wives, who want to react to the behavior of their spouses, we don't have to, we can know where that energy is. As I said before, blame, shame, and guilt is not going to be tolerated tonight. Sorry. We're in a higher, we're going up the map of consciousness. If you don't want to take responsibility for your actions and your part in any relationship, then please don't come on here trying to blame, shame, and put guilt on anybody. We're not going to have that tonight. So I'm going to go back to the conversation that we are here to raise our consciousness. Naima made a comment that said, karma is you reap what you sow. It's just over more than one lifetime. Christians believe you only have live once, live once. But Jesus, Yeshua is the name. That's why people asked him who sinned, the reason why the blind man was born blind. Did he sin or did his parents sin? The compilers of the Bible removed reincarnation in the 4th century as a belief. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful explanation. It just over more than one lifetime. So I hope that helps those who are questioning karma. And the reason, I think the reason some wives and husbands are together and in conflict and they can't get along and they stay together, there's a soul contract going on there. Look into soul contracts. Christina says, you got to love yourself. Show yourself grace. We're all about loving ourselves first, not blaming other people. If we can put in more love for self, stop putting ourselves down for the mistakes we've made, And I love everyone. I'm being love. I'm beyond love as an action. I am going to be love. And when you're going to be love, we had a host by the name of Be Love, and she was a great reminder of how to be love. Being love means that your reactions and your responses to triggers are all in your makeup, your being, your soul. You carry within you the response that's needed in every situation when you are being love, and not just trying to be action. Use it as an action word. And so someone said your caller needed to vent. Yeah, a lot of people need to vent these days, but we're not going to get in the victim mode here. If you want to get in the victim mode, go to the show. I don't do victim mode here. Sorry. So everyone here, we're rising. We're raising our frequency. And we are being the goddesses and the love beings that we were meant to be. And that's what this is all about. So I'm going to do a meditation in a few minutes. And for those of you who need to vent with someone else. But we don't want to vent blame, shame, and guilt. Let's get that clear. The map of consciousness. If you're following me tonight, I'm not going to take blame, shame, and guilt because I know what my role is in this society, in this life, in this journey. My role is to be love. And that means I don't respond or react to victim blaming and shame, guilt, and fear. Don't come at me with fear, because fear is a low vibration, such a low vibration. And guess what? We've been in fear for the last 3 years from all the systems of the world, the government, the medical system, all these systems. So if you're going to put fear on anybody right now, you're working with the Antichrist systems, in my opinion. Antichrist systems are those that go against the anointing of love and pure joy and all the things in the higher map of consciousness that are about reason, acceptance, forgiveness, understanding, all of those. When you surrender to the spirit of the Most High, you come into a beautiful acceptance of all people's behavior. Every behavior that I encounter, I have to surrender to now and decide. Remember, here are, in case you missed the beginning of the show, here are the tools to help you not be triggered into a negative emotion, but into a positive emotion. Number one, recognize who's speaking to you, what the energy is that's coming at you. And Jody Susan says, I don't know if she's on. Jody Susan is mentioning mushrooms. I don't know what she, mushroom. No, that's something else. Recognize, first of all, these are the three steps as we go into our meditation. Three steps to building emotional intelligence. Number one, recognize what type of energy, because it's all energy, energy in motion, energy in motion, energy in motion. We don't want the shame, blame, guilt, angry, anxiety, regret, blame. We don't want that negative energy in our environment if we can avoid it. So we recognize when anyone, that the caller who was just in, they were ready to throw some negative energy at the show in this environment that we've created, and we don't have to do that when we are
recognizing
what the energy is coming at us, where it's coming from, why it's coming from us, and then recognize how you're feeling about that. So my antennas go up when blame, shame, guilt energy is coming at me. Number two, interpret it. Interpret it if you can. Why is this energy coming at me?
But did you hear?
What does it mean?
The two things that I said.
How should I react? Those are the. That's the step. What interpret it in a love being. If you're in a love being mode, you don't have to be angry. You don't have to have resentment. You just process this, and that's the last. Process that energy. How are you feeling about it? I feel love. I feel love. Because when someone is in victim mode and they want to keep blaming.
See,
I feel sorry for them at some point. I'm feeling like they need some help. They need some love. So I send love to that last caller. Love, love, love.
But
they would come out of victim mode and get into love mode.
Series of love shots.
And so, Mommy AZ, your mic's open. How you doing tonight?
I'm very grateful to be on this side of the dirt. These are very interesting times, and I'll make this quick. If you add up the digits for today, I believe it comes to a one. You know, we just got out of the lion's. We just got out of the lion's gate, and we are preparing for the next phase or chapter around the Kitchen Table University to come. And I got that saying from. Sister Antica over there in Georgia many moons ago. We are planting seeds, family, that we may not see come to fruition. And we're here in this down-to-the-bone boot camp, Planet Earth, and to learn. And I'm having issues myself, but I'm saying, okay, buddy, what is it that you need me to learn from this experience, or when some knucklehead comes along and does something like, oh, I didn't see that coming, but we did. We just did not choose to pay attention. And one thing that I want to drop, children act a certain way. They're telling you what their parents are all about. You see, when children act a certain way and you may be connected to a parent of those children, gosh darn it, you better pay attention, because those children are giving you wisdom or wisdom, dropping seeds, planting seeds about their parents, and you better pay attention. That's my word of wisdom of planting a seed or seeds around the Kitchen Table University. So just put that in your doggone peace pipe and drum smoke on it, family. Thank us.
Thank you, Mama AZ. And that's exactly what I've had to do with my grandchildren. My grandchildren used to yell at each other and yell at me and yell at them. I'm like, what the hell's going on with this yelling? And I found out when I had a conversation with them that their mother doesn't believe in spanking them, but she believes in yelling at them. So you can imagine, if you got a parent whose child is disobedient or they're doing something, and you're all, instead of spanking them like our parents used to do, if you talk back, I remember somebody told me, I forget, I don't know who it was, they said something to their mother and she punched him in the mouth. What? And it happened twice and he never did that again. Now, you have parents who are not spanking their children. So when the children, you say, Johnny, do this. No, I'm not going to do this. Johnny, do this. Next thing, Johnny, do this. Da, da, da. And so this is what I was faced with my grandchildren. I'm like, what is all this yelling? I had to have a nice long talk with them about, listen, we're not going to do that. No, no, no. We're not doing this yelling. This is very uncomfortable for grandma to be yelled at, yelled, whatever. Grandma's going to be pinching somebody. I'm not going to use any objects on you, but I'm going to sure be pinching somebody rather than yelling it. You want to say, no, I'm not doing that. No, grandma's going to come over and give you a nice hard pinch and say, that is very, so disrespectful. And we learned, Mama AZ, to talk to them on a very quiet level. And slowly,
I'm so grateful.
that
yeah, you talk slowly and quiet, then you get their attention, not yelling at them.
I'm so grateful that you and others have the opportunity to share these wisdoms, even though it may rub you a little bit in a different way. Dr. V and others who may be listening, please breathe and say, okay, Creator, show me how to use this opportunity to teach my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren. It's a blessing because many do not have that bounty, Dr. V, to share the wisdoms and knowledges that we come to the planet with. And I'm one of them. So I pray about it, and that's all I can do, and live through you and others who have the opportunity to be rolling with your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. So take a deep breath, family, and say, oh, this is all in divine order. I have this great opportunity, and I need to find a way to roll in a good way with these young people because they ask to come through their mom and dad's gate to be a part of this with you. Thank us.
Right. And one more comment from our listener, Frances. She says, Naima, and that's me too. Naima and I state, most Christians don't believe in reincarnation, but you couldn't possibly speak for 50,000 different Christians. No, not at all. We speak from our experience, Frances. My experience over 67 years on this planet, not only being in Christian churches, but in talking to Christians all over the planet on Facebook and that, I wouldn't say all of them, of course, nearly 50,000 different denominations. Hell, you can't communicate with all them Christians, but here's the real deal. The experience I've had, the experience Naima has had, and I'm betting Mama AZ, the experience you've had, if you tried to talk about reincarnation, fell on deaf ears. Now, that may be changing as we 2022, but my experience, her experience, that's all we can talk about is our own experience and our own belief. And that's all we need to talk about. So little short hairs behind the ears get attention. I love that, Christina. Thank you. Pull those little short hairs behind the ear for discipline. So I love that. And so thank you. We're at the top of the hour. Let's see. Do we have any other callers in the studio? No. So we're going to close off tonight. And I want to thank everyone who called in. And I love everyone who called in. Because, again, when we get triggered, it's always good. We welcome the triggers. And tomorrow, Zelda's Monday Morning Mindfulness to myself, what's wrong with me? More great conversation on our emotions within ourselves, mainly how we process the emotions within ourselves that come up all the time when people in our lives have different beliefs. And even among sisters, that we want to develop sisterhoods as much as possible, but when our sisters have different beliefs, there might be some conflict. There might be some words of disagreement. But as I said, I am working on just being loved and recognizing, first of all, what the energy is that is being spoken, and then interpreting that energy in a way that I can respond with love and positivity. We are at the end of the show. That went by. And then process it, of course. Process it in a way, if possible, to express love even more and practice patience because we all have different beliefs. And just like with my grandchildren, I want to help them grow up because we got even a lot of adults who haven't grown up. And we want to help them in the process to grow up if we can. If not, just love yourself. Dr. Daryl main message is grow up, learning to love yourself. That's how we grow up. And so many people learn up like my mom. She didn't know how to love herself. And we turn to alcohol, drugs, and all kinds of outside things. And we can all just turn it inward and start giving it time for meditation. But tomorrow morning, Monday morning, my friend, Zelda does an awesome job of bringing us into a place of peace and meditation and breathing. Everybody breathe in love, and blow out any negative, non-loving emotions. Breathe in loving yourself. Loving yourself. Breathe in, I love myself. Let joy flow, let joy flow, let joy flow. And we say have a beautiful week. Tomorrow, August 15th, I'm celebrating the birthday of my Uncle Mark, who is a big influence in my life. So celebrate those people in your life who have brought value into your life. And that's how we can really develop emotional intelligence. Look at the value people bring in your life. Whether they trigger you or not.
Arigato. Korea. Kamsahamnida. Russia. Spasiba. Germany. Danke. Poland. Jeong Kujung. France. Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Geret. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.